Good evening, ladies.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Doing okay. We're just talking about Jesus jizz, so.
Jesus jizz.
Yes. It's a beautiful thing, the beautiful thing that the Learning Channel gives us.
It needs to be copyrighted on something.
Well, my friend Chelsea came up with it, so I got to credit her.
I was going to say, if we sell like merchandise that says Jesus jizz, does that mean we're going to hell?
Well, we have the expert here. We have Dr. Becca, who has 3 degrees in God, was on a reality TV show and does research about the two crossing over.
I do. It's true. So I would say that no, you wouldn't go to hell, but also like, I'm not the person who makes that call.
Right.
But don't you have an in with the big man?
Yes. I have a direct line. No.
Like the red cat phone.
I quite frankly believe people fear hell more than God would want us to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that makes sense to me. I can buy into that. Yeah. I mean, God wants us to be happy and love filled, not angry and fearful, like, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't think there's, if there is a hell, which is a whole other theological conversation we can have someday, you know, but if there is one, I think there's like a lot less people there than we think.
Interesting. I bet you don't have a direct line to God the way Garrick's Magic Garage has a direct line to God.
Yes, it's a portal. It's a magic portal.
I cannot wait to have that conversation with you all.
Like, well, so this is what we were saying right before you jumped on, Lexi, is that, you know, the episodes, you know, cruising along, you're all do, recap. Okay, whatever. Okay, you know, Danielle doesn't want another wife. Oh, Garrick and them. And okay, here's Danielle's two faces are going to have a conversation with Garrick. And okay, Garrick's Magic Garage. Okay, do. And then the episode was like, wait, what? What
happened? I had to rewind it. I was like, what is he talking about? Portal or not kidding, not portal. This voice. What? Whose voice?
So where do we start? Do we start with the boring people? Do we?
Well, can I start by clarifying something that I lied accidentally on last week?
Yes.
Because
this has been eating you up for a week.
It's been seriously causing me sleep deprivation because I so wholeheartedly in my heart and soul was so just like, ugh, at Ashley, which I will get to later because Ashley still every
yes,
she pisses me off. But anyways, the whole pregnancy thing and dating, and you guys were you said, Katrina, you were like, would you ever date while you were pregnant, or do you think about it? I was like, hell no, absolutely not.
My priorities were elsewhere.
Right, completely
judgy.
Right. Oh yeah, I'm totally judgy on that. On her, not everyone, but this woman in particular, I'm 100% judgy on.
Fair.
I realized something. I woke up the next day and I was like, holy crap, you did date somebody. But let me explain. I'm going to explain. So early on in my pregnancy, you know, when you're on like a dating app and you're talking to maybe, you know, multiple people, maybe you haven't met them yet, whatever, things fizzle out. Some, you know, you meet in person or whatever. So I was talking to this one guy and like it had just, I guess, fizzled out, you know, whatever. And then, of course, I found out I was pregnant and I get a text message or something from him. Hey, how have you been? And I was like, oh, well, you know. I'm actually, because he was like asking me out on a date or whatever, and I was like, well, I'm actually pregnant, so I'm not looking to date anyone. I remember exactly what happened now. And he was like, oh, that's okay, like it's cool. I'm like, no, it's really like whatever. He's like, well, let's just be friends. I'm like, okay, this guy seems like legit, he seems nice, whatever. So we went out on some dates, we hung out for a few weeks, and then I saw some red flags, and then I ended it. So it was the most brief encounter of dating and the only one I had, but I was like, I am not a liar. I just literally forgot about this dude because he was so irrelevant to my life.
It's been eating you up for a week.
Wait, how did you even think of it though? Like, how did you remember?
I literally woke up and it just came to me.
Oh my gosh.
I literally woke up. I was like, wait, I don't want to say his name because I didn't actually think about his name. And then it came to me. I was like, oh yeah, him. And then I like was like, I wonder how he's doing. Turned out he's married. I like after that whole incident last week, I was like, let me just check on him. Not married when I was talking to him, but married recently.
Right, right, right.
Anyhow. So but I was like, it's eating me, and I am not a liar. And I can't believe I forgot that. My memory sucks. So there's that. That's it. That's my story.
Well, you are forgiven, child.
It's like so like non-boring and like nonchalant and just like whatever, but
hey, happened. You know, if it eats at you, it eats at you, you know. So where do we start? Do we start with Ashley?
I have my notes in a certain way, but I don't care.
Okay, we'll go through your notes in your certain way. I don't want to mess with those.
No, it's all good.
No, no, it's fine.
Okay, well,
I haven't taken my meds in like 3 days.
So your ADD meds or your sleep?
My ADD meds. So don't listen to me. So you take it.
Okay. Well, let's talk about previously what happened on the last episode. Nick's wives talk about needing to find Danielle a wife, and Danielle's really not down with that. Naeem tells his mother that they are looking for a second wife, and she's not very supportive. Ashley,
to say the least.
Right.
Ashley,
right. Ashley is looking for a wife for herself while leaving her husband Shane out of the mix by not even meeting the woman she's talking to for a few months. And the Merrifields tell their family they are talking to another woman who is also from Brazil.
From the same city.
They're probably like related.
Who also doesn't speak English.
Right.
Okay. I think that the translator app needs some sort of award. Like, look, they're using the translator app. Yay. Like,
I think we first started like the talking about the cast member, the additional cast member of the translator app. We started that back in like the 90 day days. It was like Paul and Creaney, I think is the first ones that we started to see it on.
Yeah.
And like, and then we saw it with like Marcel and Anna. Mm-hmm. And it was like,
and then they made it. They actually made it. Like in their relationship.
I know. I'm like, we're friends on Instagram too. It's very, yeah. And like we chit chat sometimes.
That's randomly. Awesome. Are you talking to the translator app or to Marcel?
No. No. I'm talking to Anna, actually, Marcel.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm talking to the translator app. I don't know
if you were using Google Translate or what. I had no idea.
Oh, no, I don't know. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so we first see Sam, who is Danielle's brother, giving us the definition of insanity, which completely sums up Danielle and Garrick's situation right now.
It's okay. We get a good explanation as to why they're doing it this way. So don't worry. Don't worry, guys. Just in case you thought Garrick and Danielle might be crazy, don't worry.
No, Danielle.
Okay, the big man said to do it.
Danielle says, and I quote, "I swear we're not stupid." End quote.
Okay.
And then Garrick goes on to say she just graduated from law school. This chick that they're talking to, I'm like, okay, we'll see. We'll see about that. But then she can't figure out how to travel across the countries to Mexico. But neither here nor there.
Okay. Yeah.
So everyone thinks they're just out to get, you know, she's out to get their money, just like Roberta.
Gee, I wonder why.
And Garrick is paying for her and her mother to come down to Mexico.
Of course they are.
Yeah. And Danielle said that Garrick is thinking about proposing, and he even made her a ring. Okay. They've never even met this chick in person. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they go down to Mexico with their children.
I was appalled.
And Becca, this is what I warned you. I was going to cuss these motherfucking cocksucking motherfuckers. Right.
Well, and I thought that was an interesting choice because if I remember correctly, when they were dating Roberta, like they waited until like the second or third time they went to go see her before they brought the kids.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. I think it was. Yeah.
Which just tells us how, like, oh, well, he says he might propose. No, Like, he's clearly doing this. Like, the decision's been made. He has a ring. He's bringing the kids. He's flying Danielle's parents down because they're always there. And they just always are. I don't know. Do they watch the kids? I don't know.
Do you think that they may have actually met this chick and they're just redoing it for the show? You know how, like, the producers have done that before where they've recreated scenes?
Oh, you mean, like, Jennifer and what the hell's his name?
The tall, he was, wasn't he?
Tim. Like, Tim.
Yeah, but there was also that preacher, right? Like their pastor. What was his name? The red hair that went and dated like the 19-year-old, and wasn't that 90 Day? And he was a little strange. He was like more.
There could be so many of them.
I can't remember her name. It's gonna bother me.
But we know for a fact that Tim and Jennifer, who met in Colombia on that season of whatever it was before the 90 Day, we know that that was all fake and made up. Mm-hmm. That they had actually met previously in Mexico and didn't like each other and cut it off. And then the show called and then they said, okay, we'll pretend to do this. If you want all the details of that, you can listen to episode 2 of the Fraudcast.
Ben and Mahogany. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Them.
Yeah.
Ben and Mahogany.
Mm-hmm. Didn't they meet before action, you know, the camera? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. That story was all screwed up and it was really hard to follow all the lies and things on that story. And it was starting to be towards the end where I was like having a really hard time staying engaged in it.
Yeah. I think that's when I started not watching 90 Day anywhere.
Yeah. No, I think I gave up after like season 3 or something. I think it was after they did the spinoff of The Family Chantel where I was like, I'm out.
I've never watched The Family Chantel.
I didn't either, but like, yeah, it was after that season and I was just like, I think this show has jumped the shark. I'm out.
There was like, it was, I watched it probably up until like season 8 maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you I watched it for a while. It started like, season 6 is where it jumped the shark, right? So season 6 is like the dividing line of old 90 Day fans and new 90 Day fans, right? So season 6 was the Ashley and Jay season. That's how most people remember it. That was the Ashley and Jay season and whatnot and stuff. And so that, and Larissa and Colt, that was the original Larissa and Colty season. So that's whenever it went from weird and crazy but still like okay to oh my god batshit and like over the top and fake, right?
Yeah.
And so it was a dividing line between like the old school fans, like I mean I've been watching since day one and my OG queen is Danielle, you know. Mm-hmm. And she will always be my OG queen. There's no, that will never change.
One of my besties.
Yes, 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 yes. Our Queen Danielle, she's also what we call our higher power that got us together.
Lexi. Yeah. It's so true.
It is. She was like our, I don't know, we called her our guardian angel or whatever we called.
That's so cute.
I don't remember. But it was because of, we connected it. And it was because of Danielle that Lexi and I met. And,
oh, mm-hmm. I love that. That's awesome.
And then all the good things that come out from
we
that.
We still, so
anyway,
my husband and I used to watch 90 Day Fiance like when it first started.
Uh-huh.
And like, I forget what season it was. One of the early seasons where there was a couple where woman was on vacation in the Dominican Republic and met someone. And then
Ashley and Jay probably, yeah, or probably. Molly and Luis.
I think it was them.
Okay.
So, like, I just remember we were watching the episode where, like, her daughter.
Yeah.
Was
okay.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Her daughter was like, all he wants to eat is plantains. And so, like, whenever if we're eating at like a Latin American restaurant, or if we see plantains somewhere, we're like, he just wants to eat plantains.
Plantains. So, anyway. Well, you know. I still use the phrase, like, I would pay you harvested American money. And
what's that from?
That was from Mother Chantel on like season 2 or whatever. Oh, was their original season?
harvested American
money. She was accusing Pedro's family of coming here to harvest the American dollar,
which actually was totally true.
It turns out.
Yeah, as it turns out.
As it turns out.
As we see the seasons unfolding.
And things like, you know, like things are about to get a whole lot more stupider.
Yes, yes.
You know, that was a Mother Chantel.
That's right. Wow.
There were so many good things about all of those early days. And the, you know, Danielle had the best one-liners. And like Nicole and Azin. Oh my gosh. Like, she's acceptable to be. Oh no, that was Muhammad, I think. Yeah. She's lazy a little bit. And
yeah.
Keep going, lazy. She's big a little bit. I'm like 55% attracted to her.
You know? Yeah, I forgot about that. Wow.
She's a good classic 90 day. Like, that's the good shit right there. Anyway, but we digress. Well, so then, back to Garrick and Danielle.
Yeah, so that was the end of that scene. We then see the Sherwood family. And Shane finally gets to meet the just wonderful and mesmerizing Grace, who was their hair and makeup artist for their wedding. This bitch, excuse my language. Ooh, okay. Anyways, Shane thinks that Ashley is very attractive. Wait, Shane thinks that Grace is very attractive.
Right.
But I'm not sure why it matters to him, because he's not going to be the one hooking up with her, right? So, like, what, or being intimate or anything with her.
Okay,
like,
whatever. let's talk about the scene from two points of view. Let's assume everything that happened is accurate and authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Becca, go. Go with your thoughts.
Okay. Well, that is a big assumption, but okay, we'll go with it. As we all know, editing occurs and other things.
Give me your thoughts on this scene.
Yeah. So, there seems to be no chemistry between the two at
Correct.
All. Right. Mm-hmm. Which Shane even comments on.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's like, y'all are just like sitting there. Like, there doesn't seem to be like any like banter.
The body language was...
Yeah, so like that was weird, which we talked about last time, right? Where mm-hmm. it just seemed like a producer plant or something versus like them actually dating.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But just like it was funny, because I remember watching it. I went and rewatched the scene because I was like, I really want to watch this again now that I know like where it's going to go. But like, I was wondering why they kept in the edit the first round when I watched it, I didn't know what was going to happen, why they kept in them ordering the food, because that's not something you usually watch. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, I get it now, because we needed to watch her order the vegan, soy-free, gluten-free salad.
Just make me a salad, soy-free, gluten-free, vegan. Right. What? Like, however you're going to... No, like, that's... Yeah. Just not a thing that no.
Like, just pick a salad and then say, don't put this on or whatever. But
right. You don't order like that and they go, okay, you'll just tell the chef to make me whatever.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
But then the best part was, so she orders that. And then Shane's like, I'll have the steak tips.
Yes. Do you think he probably did it on purpose too? I'm gonna get the beefiest, meatiest of meats.
Yes. Well, just, I mean, no, my theory is that this is all fake, right? This is a producer plant. They're like, just put this person in. This is how we're going to introduce the concept. It's not going to work out, you know, because we're going to introduce whatever plot points we're going to introduce.
Yeah.
The jealousy, the whatever. So they just made this up, because Ashley 100% is like improvising this whole thing, right? She's not very good at it. She's like told to, engage in conversation like this is real, like, you know. And so she's like making
and she's like
stuff
barely
up.
Talking the whole time, which I thought was like super unhelpful, right? Like,
I thought it was super crazy that she is a psychiatrist and yet is a woman of few words and has no sense of reading the room or directing the conversation or doing anything that you do on a daily basis in your job when you talk to people that are like in situations like that.
Right. And you could tell by the way she was talking. And this was kind of what I was saying last week about the way she was having this conversation about attraction with her husband. Right. it just seemed like the energy wasn't matching. And it's the same thing with this conversation. And I think I figured out what it is. I mean, it's just because she's completely inauthentic.
Yeah,
she's not
100%.
She, you know, her behavior, her demeanor, the way she says the words, you know, the way her body language doesn't match any of the words that are coming out of her mouth. Her eyes, all of it is completely like, okay, no, this is not an act, a real thing. And that's why I think this ordering the salad bullshit was, let's just be as annoying as possible. Like, oh, this is all made up anyway. Let's just make up the shit.
Let's just do this.
Well, you know what I thought of? I thought of, Becca, when you were talking about the woman, I can't remember her name, that was on your season of the show you're on, who was inauthentic and a, quote, like, kind of fake spiritual healer that was actually mm-hmm. really negative and toxic. I felt like she was kind of similar, you know? The fact that her job is, quote, helping entrepreneurs remove blocks and belief systems that are holding them back from achieving a truly fulfilling life by channeling and communicating with the universe, but, like, has no sense of, I don't know, authenticity or like caring. I don't know.
Well, we have thoughts on this, right? We have thoughts. Right.
Okay. So I am both a trained spiritual director and a trained coach. So, and like when I say
actual legitimate.
Yeah, right. So like, here's the thing. Like I've been through, I have a certificate that shows I'm a spiritual director. And I also, cause there's no like official certification to be a spiritual director, which I could go on for hours about how that's problematic. But anyway,
I can see how program. It could be easily.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like anyone could put a shingle up.
I could declare myself a spiritual director.
Totally, yeah. Which is disturbing. But anyway, right.
Yeah, it really is.
Right. Like, just like anyone can call themselves a healer, right? But like the other thing is, people really don't know this, and I wish more people did, is that like there's actual certifications to be a coach, like specific things you do. Like there's an International Federation of Coaching, and then there's like different certifications you go through, different credentialing. I've been through things where I could have gone through the official credentialing, but I just chose not to because it's a lot of hours. It's an insane amount of hours. And like, that's cool. I know a lot of people do it, but I went through the training where it counts as towards that hours. I just didn't like officially get that certification. Do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have these, I mean, it was part of your larger degrees, right? Like,
well, this a is lot a of completely it? Separate process.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I have a lot of degrees and I have a lot of certifications. So like, I didn't feel the need, right? Like I've been to a lot of school. So I didn't feel like I desperately needed the, like that credentialing. Cause I'm like trained in my denomination's training process for coaches, which is also dovetails with their process. If that makes sense.
So by coaches, is that like life coach or is it like, what kind of, yeah, so, please explain the difference there because we're going to go from that to the non-legitimate coaching I'm going to talk about.
So this is why I had a lot of thoughts on this. So like there is legitimate coaches are people who are trained in how to help people meet goals. But like a trained coach, like when you meet with a trained coach, I'm trying to figure out how to explain this. When you meet with a trained coach, the coach barely talks. Like it's mostly the at least 80% of the time, it's the client who's talking and the coach is the one who's asking questions and facilitating the conversation to help that person figure out what would make sense for them to meet that goal, right?
Can you give an example of like something that somebody might come to you with in that regard so that I have an understanding?
Sure. So I had a client that came to me about wanting to figure out more time management and finding more ways to manage her time effectively so that she could have a work-life balance.
Okay.
And so I asked a lot of specific questions and things around like, first of all, trying to figure out like why that's an issue in the first place. And then as we worked through our 8 sessions together, figuring out like, okay, how do you use time now? What would it look like to use it differently? And it was all, she geared the conversations, right? Like I'm just asking questions to help her think through stuff. She's the one who's really guiding it. And at the end, I'm always like, what's your goal before our next session? Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's almost like therapy, kind of.
Okay, so that's a whole other conversation, because she tried to say it was therapy. Coaching is very different.
Right. Like,
so I am not a trained therapist. And coaching and spiritual direction and therapy are three very different things, even though you're meeting one-on-one with a client.
Okay.
So like coaching is more like the client has a goal they want to meet and you're there to help facilitate them meeting that goal.
Okay. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's like
coaching them, literally. Coaching.
Yeah. Like just helping them along. Somebody who can give a little outside perspective to help guide you in the right way that you might need to go.
But I don't tell clients what to do. That is not what a coach like if you're being trained in the IFC credentialing process.
Okay.
Right. Like you never be like, you should do this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's not a thing coaches do. It's very client geared. So with all of that said, I'm sure there are people who claim they're like claim the title life coach who are credentialed. I'm sure there's folks. Most of the times when someone calls themselves a life coach, they have not gone through a training process.
Correct. And I'm going to rant about that aspect in a bit.
Right. So like my guess with her talking is that she hasn't gone through like coaching training, and her system is not like the process of like asking coaching type questions to like get people to match their goals is my guess.
No, the universe certified her, Becca. Right, the universe.
Right. She channels. The broadcast will be right back. Hey, fraudcasters. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge. I know I've always had problems with it, whether it was the fit or the quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims, the maker of my perfect t-shirt bra. Now I have the perfect t-shirt to go with that bra. From either crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. My cotton jersey t-shirt is now a wardrobe staple for me. I reach for it almost every day, and the fit is so perfect because it snatches me right in at the waist. I've washed it a million times, and it's held its shape really well. It fits like a dream. I absolutely love it. And honestly, you guys, I thought, like, okay, this shirt is going to be too small for me, and it's not going to fit right, and all the bulges are going to show. But it doesn't at all. I put it on and it magically stretches to fit me perfectly, and it holds all those bulges in. Every little but last bulge that I have is all held in, and it looks fantastic. I absolutely love it, and it is super, super comfortable, and it is one of my new favorite t-shirts. You can shop the Skims t-shirt collection at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small up to 4X. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu.
And now back to the show.
Okay. So my immediate thought on this, and this is, you know, I've been in the podcast that I'm listening to, and things are been very in the anti-MLM world. You know, we had Rebecca Blevins on recently, and, you know, talking to Emily Lynn Paulson, you know, with Hey Hun and things like that. And so I've been kind of in this anti-MLM space, and one of the areas that gets a lot of recognition or lots of attention, I'll say, in that field is the MLM to coaching sort of pipeline, right? People who do these MLMs will then go on to, oh, this is how you too can be a success in direct sales or whatever. And they become a coach, and then they sell their coaching packages of how to be a better direct seller in the MLM pipeline. Right. So they're still MLMs, because you have to buy into this and then you can become a coach and help other people. So it's like six or seven levels of MLM shit all piled on top of each other. And that's where I thought she was going with this, right? Is like, and this was, you know, like, I'm blanking on the podcast with the guys and the people, soulmates, finding your twin flames.
There we go.
That's the MS brain in action.
So they have ascension coaches. And so then, the question being, okay, like, what's the training process for these coaches? And like,
there isn't any really
coaching. Right. Yeah. And so, like, the word coach has like lost meaning, I think.
Yeah. Because anybody who I sold Pampered Chef, I didn't do very well, but I'm going to follow this guy who says he can help me. And now I'm going to sell that package. What kind of any kind of training do you have? No, you have failed MLMs in your history. You don't even have a degree in anything, much less training classes, certifications, experience, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So like already when she said she was a coach, like my like spidey senses were tingling. But then when like you find out later that Ashley is actually a psychiatrist and like she was just basically equated her coaching with therapy, which is like a huge red flag because therapy is not coaching. Like that's not, they're two very different practices.
Very different.
And so like all of it. And then just like the, I don't know, like the whole like, oh, I just channel the universe and like, it's fine. It tells me what to say, which as we know, from my time experiencing that with someone that doesn't end well.
Correct.
So like the whole thing, and like, I have nothing against being a spiritual human being, obviously.
Correct.
I just want to be clear about that. Like I'm a pastor and like spirituality is a good thing, no matter what your spirituality is. Like, connecting to the divine is a lovely thing. But when you start using it to help other people without proper training or thinking through what that looks like, that's when issues occur.
Yeah, you could do serious harm. Yeah. Serious mental and emotional
and
harm
spiritual
to people.
Abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff, right? So that whole thing was just very triggering for me.
No, yeah. Like, she literally asked him. She was like, have you been to a therapist before?
Yeah,
that shows when he said no. I'm like, and I'm sorry. Like, this guy seems pretty chill. Like, we haven't seen much of him yet, okay? But he seems so far to be, like, a nice guy. Yeah. I don't know. He doesn't seem, you know, he's just kind of there.
He's very, very active in his axe-throwing club.
Yeah.
Because that's how they met, right?
That's how they met. Yeah, I'm really, really deep into their family social media at this moment. So this is how it started, right?
She like, spiraled everyone. She has spiraled down a rabbit hole.
The question is, wait, Ashley's a doctor? They're talking about 12 years of schooling. Like, that sounds like legitimate doctor time. Like, maybe what? So I start Googling, and of course I found Reddit had gotten there as well, and they had found her, and I was like, okay, let me independently confirm. And we were able to find her. She is a licensed, she's got licensure. She's a DO, not an MD. Same level of licensure. Right. Like, that doesn't change your licensing at all. And she is currently active licensure. I've found all her licenses and everything. And her specialty is psychiatry. So she is,
God help her patients,
a legitimate psychiatrist and can prescribe drugs and all the things. She is a doctor. So all of those things between the ordering of the food, the lack of physical chemistry between the two, the very awkward way that Ashley spoke, the interactions, the conversations, all of it together is just overwhelming to me that this was complete producer plant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what was so painful about all of it too is that like she equates what she's doing with therapy, and like she's sitting next to the woman she's in theory dating, who's a psychiatrist,
who's a legitimate psychiatrist,
and you're just
doctor.
Like,
and that's why Shane was like, her ego is so big. Like, obviously, she thinks that she can even compare. Like,
well,
or even equate herself to be some sort of equal to her.
Well,
which I'm
not,
again, saying negatively about people that do whatever the hell.
No, but that's
like
the thing, though. If Ashley and her had legitimately been on 10 dates or something like that that they were talking about, they would have already known all of this about each other. And it wouldn't be like, you know what I mean? Like, Ashley wouldn't be acting like she's just finding out about this. And as seen from the, you know, coming next week on, you hear them having a conversation about, yeah, well, you know, should I date her anyway, even though you don't like her? And
oh, that,
you
know, that and, made me mad.
Right. And all that. That and I think mad. All and they're just using, I think it's a 100% producer plant. They're using it to introduce these plot devices that they want to use later so he can work through his issues with Grace so that whatever this next person is that they're legitimately dating might actually be.
You know, even if it is a producer plant, what really made me upset is in her interview on the couch, she was saying that it felt very tense and she felt like she needed to defend both of them. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. You need to defend your husband, the father of your children, not the woman you fake dated for whatever, six dates.
Right.
No, that's which, a producer which plant.
All of this says it's fake. Right. All of this says it's fake, 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 fake.
Right. But even if like a stranger was next to me and was starting to talk shit about my husband, I'm going to stand up and say something. I don't care what I'm doing. Like, that's not okay to me. And I was just so mad. This is why I don't like her. I got bad vibes from the beginning and I'm getting bad vibes after this episode. I do not like this woman and I'm getting very angry right now. Sorry.
Yeah, no, but like, I mean,
but I'm just like, oh, she's
this,
I don't like her.
Even if this whole thing is fake with her, the plot points that they're introducing with it are very rage inducing. Absolutely. 100%. Because they already, as we talked on that, you know, talked about last week, the was it the jealousy? Like she's going to leave him.
Yeah.
For her. Yeah. And whatnot, and some of this other, you know, he's got to work through his jealousy of her being with a woman, you know, all of these things. And if they're using this as just a way to introduce this plot point about her so-called struggling between the two of them, it's a really shitty way to do it. Because,
right,
like you said, like who in that scenario would you really honestly not be defending your husband
right
between those two? See, it's so far-fetched that it's just beyond belief, you know?
Well, and a lot of people online too, I was reading some Reddit, you know, things and stuff. They were just like, I don't think she's into her husband. A lot of people got the vibe, like, I just don't think she's in love with him and she's just trying to find something else or whatever. Now, of course, we've only seen two episodes and snippets of people's lives that are highly edited and, you know,
right.
We all know what they do on reality TV, but if you think about it now, looking back, I'm looking at all the scenes and I'm like, she doesn't even really look at her husband. Like she doesn't, I don't know. Something's off. Something's off. And he looks at her like he's in love with her. That's what I've seen so far. Mm. He just looks like he cares more about her.
Well, it's interesting. I like her social media. So like I started going down this rabbit hole, right, of finding her. Is she really a doctor? Found her. And then I was able to find her Facebook. And then I found her mother on Facebook. And I found pictures of her mother at the wedding. And I'm trying to see if the wedding makeup artist is tagged in any of these pictures. But it's like the way that Ashley uses her Facebook, it's like pretty, well, I mean, it's not completely locked down. So there may be more stuff to people who are her friends.
Why don't you friend request her?
Maybe I will.
Why don't you make an appointment with her?
Oh my gosh, you could.
Sorry.
Actually, they're probably not that far from me if they're in Massachusetts.
They're in Massachusetts. Right,
Becca, that's your,
come
Becca,
party you up need... here with us in upstate New York and then head over that way.
There you go.
I gotta go to my therapist appointment, my psychiatrist.
So she doesn't really use it. Like she has recent pictures posted of both of the babies, of the her and her husband. You know, it's happy. It's mostly the kids, honestly. Then there's a spattering of the two of them. You go to his social media, and I've gotten to his Facebook, and then I went to his Instagram, and then the Axe Club's Instagram, and then the guy who married the two of them his Instagram.
Do you guys ever want to find a spouse cheating or, I don't know, information about a man you're dating? Katrina's your girl.
Oh my God.
So this is your highly trained government investigator here. Anyway, and that was all just in the last hour between while we were waiting for Lexi to finish watching the show and put Gaia to bed. That was just what I was able to find doing that. So far, not nary a Grace in sight. There's no Grace connected to anybody
I'm telling you, it's a fake name. It's her fake spiritual, like, Grace. My name. I'm going to make my spiritual name Grace.
Yeah.
Because Grace is such a beautiful name.
So now you look like
a positive and loving.
I'm at the point I'm looking at individual pictures. All of their like axe throwing pictures and axe clubs. They have like visiting axe clubs and stuff sometimes. And then they have these pictures of people. And I'm looking through all of them to see if any of them look like Grace.
Oh my gosh.
Try to find this woman.
Watch Grace just be like a producer herself. Like, I'm just like, they couldn't find anybody. They're like, all right,
you,
Mary, go some in PA. There. Get in the game. Mary.
They did, in theory, I remember from the first episode, they did, in theory, show a picture of her doing her makeup,
yes,
or hair,
exactly,
like
exactly,
at the wedding. So like there are pictures that's somewhere. True.
Exactly. So I found the wedding pictures on Facebook. I found the ones mom posted of the wedding, but so far I haven't gotten to like the behind the scenes ones. And I'm trying to find her posted pictures. You know, she's going to post pictures of that stuff. She's going to be the one.
My theory is they blocked her. Something went down and they blocked her. So even like there's no tag and her name's not really Grace, but you're right. Maybe she'll turn up on Reddit. Maybe somebody will find it and, or she'll comment herself and be like, they edited me bad.
I'm telling you, those Reddit people find all sorts of stuff. They found someone's mugshot from the cast of the show I was in.
Wait, was
and
it
I was like,
what? People's mugshot or was
wait,
it
whose? Well, whose mugshot?
I'm not going to talk about it.
Wait, I don't remember. Who? What person on your show had a mugshot?
Apparently Robin.
I don't remember which one was Robin.
The mom.
Oh, it was probably something stupid. Like, I mean,
yeah,
probably
I'm
like
sure
a,
it was something ridiculous.
Young DUI, or
it was
you know.
A lot from a long time ago.
Oh,
and
God.
But like, but like, people are like posting this stuff on Reddit, and I'm like, yes. What is happening?
It's wild.
Yeah,
like I barely had an Instagram account before I was on the show, so I'm like, here you go, friends. You can see stuff from like 6 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
But, so.
But the whole thing was just, it was so uncomfortable. Like,
yeah.
And it was making me especially uncomfortable watching Ashley during the whole thing. Because like, it was just very clear that she like legitimately had no idea what to do. Like, and I don't, and we can talk about whether
she has 12 years of school and doesn't know what to do in a situation that requires some sort of emotional intelligence. And
which is
I'm
why
sorry, I'm triggered.
Something happening more than that, right? Like,
yeah,
obviously.
Right.
So I don't like the whole thing. And then, like, the conversations with her and Shane afterwards were like even more uncomfortable because they both agreed that like this did not go well. Like, they were on the same page about that. But then she's like, I think I still want to like explore things with her. And you're like,
which is so
what?
No, it's just so far fetched. That just doesn't make sense.
Is it far fetched or is she just a bitch? Sorry. I'm sorry. I said it.
Or, I mean, or the other option is producers were like, we really need you to like keep seeing her for a short time or whatever.
Because we need to get this and this so that he can. So you can develop it. You and him can work through it so that your next relationship can flourish.
Right.
You have to have this happen to trigger that.
Because it's very possible that she did not make that decision herself.
Yeah, very true. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. It could have been like, oh, do you know anybody that, you know, you go on a date with and we could film it like for
B-roll. My makeup artist told me she was a lesbian.
Oh, sure.
That's
we can
the
pretend
one lesbian
that.
I know. So I'll reach out to her.
Right. So then, like, oh, we can pretend one date, no big deal. But then it turns into, oh, no, now you have to do this. And now you have to do that. Now you have to do, and the producer's just like making it even like you're already here. And now you have to do more. Mm-hmm. Keep moving the goalposts, as it were.
Yeah.
Yeah. It also makes me wonder, too. Like, and I have these moments when I watch reality TV, having been on a show. But like, I'm like, do people know how they come across? Like, I have these moments where I'm like, do you know how people are going to rip this apart?
Yeah.
Like, later.
Yeah.
Right. And not that, like, obviously I did some cringeworthy things on the show. Like,
I don't
I was
think
not,
you did.
No, there were definitely moments where, like, I still think about it and I'm like, oh my gosh. But, like, you know, you watch back yourself and you're like, that's the worst. But like,
I live for watching you twerk.
Thanks for that. That's not one of those cringeworthy times. That was
good. It should not be.
It was not. No, just like you say things or right. Like,
right.
You know, and like everyone has those moments in life. You just don't normally have to like watch them back with the rest of America watching them and analyzing them at the same time.
Right.
But like,
yeah. I know right. about that being on that show.
Yeah. Right. Ooh. So like, I get that. Like, you can't always in the moment think about stuff before you say it because life. And also there's like 15 crew members staring at you while you're doing right. Like I've always explained yeah. this to people. Like I did not know, like I'm like, you know, in The Bachelor, when like they're making out in the hot tub, there's like 20 people staring at them doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It takes a lot of production to like film stuff. But like, and I get that because that's terrifying anyway, to just have multiple cameras like pointed at you and like, it's just a lot. Right.
Well, she could just be like nervous too, because people yeah. get nervous on TV, certain people filming.
Yeah. So like, it could be that, or it could be just like, I don't know. Like, it's just weird. Like people say stuff and I'm like, man, do you know what that's going to do to you later?
Like, yeah.
I don't.
You are now the vegan, non-dairy, non-soy salad eater.
I will say though, I was a vegan for 4 years, and that's like when you go to a restaurant where there's nothing, you're just like, just make me whatever you can. But I get that. But she's a bitch, yeah. so I totally get why she would say that. I don't like her. She's a horrible person.
No, well, my whole thing with it wasn't that she was like vegan or whatever. It was just, I was like, why are they even keeping this in at first, right? And then as you keep watching... Right. And then because I'm like, I understand in reality TV editing, like time is a premium. And so like they often cut a lot of that type of stuff. But then I'm like, well, they clearly kept that in for a reason. And then as you keep watching the scene, you're like, oh,
that's way up. That's exactly.
Why. That's why. Yeah. So that's a lot with them. So for like the one scene that they were in created quite a bit of chatter, I think. Quick break, and then we'll be right back, and we'll talk about
the Davis family.
Whatever. Who?
The Davis family.
The Davises. All right. So you want to talk about the Davis family?
Yeah, we see Nick loving
Darlene Danielle Davis.
Danielle Davis.
Where are you?
Danielle Davis. Danielle is out of the solar system.
Is Danielle
Davis. Her planetary rotation has moved. Very much out of the solar system.
Oh, it was already in the back. I just crashed out of the solar system.
Oh my god.
There's a black hole. It sucked her planet in far away from the sun.
Well, oh my god. He moved up on re-entry.
First of all, in last week's episode, he said some women's rotations are closer to the sun or something like that, right? So he was insinuating that like some women get more attention than others. Yeah. So right. She was on the outskirts of that. She had to have been. She probably felt like she was not getting enough attention, love, whatever.
Well, her commentary last week had been like, it's only been like 2 years. Like, give me some time to be the new wife, right?
Right.
Yeah, Nick can't do that. His ego's too big. So his head is small physically, but his ego is big. Ugh. Anyhow.
This has nothing to do with anything, but can we talk about the fact that he, in theory, is a stay-at-home dad that wears suits?
Yes. That was my next comment.
Like, I'm sorry. When I'm taking care of my kid, I'm literally in, like, the crappiest clothes on the planet.
Right, because you're getting covered in vomit, right? Right. Bodily fluids.
Like spit up.
He
like
totally put on that pink suit for the cameras. Ain't no right. way. Ain't right. no way that man is wearing a pink suit.
But he tried to convince everyone, baby. Like, I take this seriously, so this is what I wear when
this
I
this is my job when kid. I parent and think.
Look at me, everyone. I'm the head of the household in my
I suit. Think. I have to sit here and think.
Well, I think the thinker.
Yeah, and he was like, oh man, like I'm the head of the household. I should have seen this coming. And it was just so awkward for me to watch the two women's faces when he's like, I'm the head of the household. And I'm like, oh
I know.
So yes. So let's pretend that He's a stay-at-home dad wearing a suit. So we see the episode, what is it? Like the scene, oh, hi, mommy's home. Don't worry. This is all real. Mommy's been gone all day. Here she is.
Yep.
I know. It was so awkward.
And Nick says that Danielle still has concerns about expanding the family, which we talked about. And that was pretty much the whole scene. What a waste of time.
Right.
Oh, I also want to point out, since Katrina asked about this last time, that he's like, oh, I'm going to make dinner.
Oh.
And oh, I was said like, that?
He said but that. And I was like,
did oh, he actually?
I well, missed right. That.
So I rewinded it. And he like goes into the fridge and takes out a previously made meal.
Oh my
God. In like God. A Tupperware.
Oh, and you know what I forgot to tell you guys? After we watched last week's episode, I decided to fall asleep watching the season that they were first on. We first saw them.
Oh, yeah.
And within the first episode, within 30 minutes, it made me so angry because that's when they were doing all, they're like, we're the wives. We work and we come home and we do the cooking and cleaning. And he was literally just sitting there. And I completely forgot about all of that from the beginning, you know. And I'm like, I hate this guy more and more. And that's why, like, when I talked about hating him more than Garrick, these are the reasons why I'm just
Totally. But he took out a pre-made, like,
oh my God,
previously made, like a casserole. And like a, yeah, and like a big Tupperware.
Danielle nice. Probably forgot it. She probably left it at the house, forgot to take her leftovers with her when she dipped out, moved out of the house.
She got her plans, but she didn't bring her leftovers.
Yeah. Her Stouffer's like, lasagna.
So he's saying that so the wives come home and he's like, or the other planets come into their orbit, and he tells him, oh, Danielle done up and left earlier with her plans and she left, she gone bye,
she needs session with Grace, maybe that'll help guide her in the right direction.
God, can I just say the way he talked about her leaving was so strange though.
Yes,
because he was like, I came out and her plants were gone. It's like, no, it's like that's a weird
way. They weren't oddly, in the window.
Oddly weird way to start this conversation.
They weren't in the windowsill. Well, when you're staying at home all day, not doing anything, just staring at the plants out of the window, I guess that makes more sense.
Maybe you talk to the plants and then that's how you think you're playing at the plant. And then so it's the first thing he noticed. Not that she's gone. Not that she packed up her stuff. It was her plants are gone. Like, why would you lead with that? That's just so bizarre.
It was so weird. Because like if you heard it, because he said, I heard a commotion and then I came out and saw her plants were gone. And I was like, okay, so if you heard a commotion, when you go towards the commotion, like, why are you looking at plants?
What was the commotion? You went to the commotion. What was the commotion?
Right. And then like he's like, oh, she came back in and like she had come back from like putting a load of
it was
stuff
clear
in the
she
car.
Had taken stuff to her car.
Right.
Well, then and later on, like, the other women were like, yeah, she left when we were all gone. And I'm like, well, no, Nick was there because he doesn't do anything. He doesn't work or do it.
Well,
like,
at least he has to keep a little human alive now.
That's true. That's true. I keep forgetting about that. I'm still not convinced that he's doing that all by himself. I'm sorry. I'm not. Yeah. I believe that there's somebody else coming over to help.
All right, we're gonna keep our eyes open.
Yeah, there's gotta be somebody else.
Well, he's then, like, wearing a suit anyway.
After that whole crazy scene, we then go back to Garrick and Danielle, who decide to sit outside of their house talking about their new relationship and their family's concerns. And this is Katrina's favorite scene, I think, of the episode. When That's Garrick said that God came. And met him and Danielle in the garage.
Well, like, well, you have to give this conversation context. It was okay. So they're talking about their family's reactions, suitably surprised, and why the fuck are you guys doing this again, you stupid morons?
Yes.
Right? Understandably so.
Right.
So they're discussing those reactions. Oh, shock, shock. Look, they're concerned about us. But then Garrick is like, well, if we didn't know that this was what God told us to do and God wanted, then we would think it's too fast too. But we know this is what God wants because God told us. And then he proceeds with the magical garage story.
I actually changed my mind. I think that rather than Danielle seeing Grace for advice, I think Garrick needs to see Ashley for advice because he might be schizophrenic. I don't know. I don't know. There's something else. Like,
I want to hear about Garrick's magic garage. Come on.
All right.
So walk us through it.
Yes. So Garrick said that God came and met him and Danielle in her garage. And like a wind, a presence of God filled the whole garage. And this peace and love of love and joy came over them. And they knew it was serious. So that way, you know, he said, I know I'm going to propose, basically.
That he took that as a yes to his question of should we add her as a wife?
Right.
Becca. It might be the carbon monoxide poisoning left over from a car running in the garage.
That wasn't the warm air you felt. That was Jesus jizz.
Oh, God. So I have thoughts.
Yes.
So, okay. So he is mirroring stuff that if you were, say, reading the Bible, the story of Pentecost, right, where the Holy Spirit comes powerfully upon the disciples and like things happen that wouldn't normally happen and feelings happen that wouldn't normally happen. And people are like, holy crud, this is real. And they become followers of Jesus, right? So he's trying to mirror the idea of this like outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost.
Mm. Okay.
With his language, which is interesting. But then on top of that, one of the things that's interesting as a spiritual director and someone who teaches Christian spirituality at a seminary is that like this idea of discernment when you have mystical or spiritual experiences of like trying to figure out was this God or not, right? And there was no discernment after this for them. Like it was just like, no, it was definitely God telling us like we need to like propose to this check now, right? Or really that's what Garrick said. Danielle obviously has reservations.
Well, Danielle is a woman, so she's not capable of hearing God directly, right? She has to hear it through her husband.
Oh gosh.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. I don't know how their particular spirituality works coming from a more evangelical background, but it's possible. But to me, like when I heard that, like I am not arguing that maybe they had that spiritual experience, right? Like that could quite possibly have happened, but there's no discernment around was that relating to them like and the new wife, or was that just God telling them that God's with them in this process?
Right
Like
how did you discern that? Well, you asked the question, should we add her as a wife?
Right.
This thing happened that we can say, okay, people experience God and Holy Spirit. I've had experiences. People can talk about ad nauseam.
I've had many,
about these kinds of experiences. And they can be very overwhelming and big and all of this stuff. But what he did is he took that to be, yes, Garrick, you should marry him or her.
Right. Whereas maybe that wasn't the message at all.
Because, right,
you know, people mystical or spiritual experiences all the time and get the message wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a very specific, like, are you asking for a yes or no answer from God? Like, I don't know if wind blowing can be, is that a yes? Is it blowing twice? Is it blow left to right? Is a yes? Right to
close
left?
The garage
is a
door
no?
open?
Yeah. Right. Close like, the garage door twice for yes, once for no.
Right.
Was the wind coming in because it was open and it was
Did
windy?
You blink, Garrick? Garrick, blink three times. But like, I mean, maybe I don't know, I kind of have an issue with that in general. If people are like, if a pastor or somebody who I'm hearing saying, oh, God said this, it's like, does God really speak to you that specifically with those like exact words, or did you just like, you know, interpret it one way, you know, whatever, you know?
Yeah. Well, isn't that how new religions start, when people hear things and then God actually told me this,
David which Crash, is different,
right?
Sometimes,
depending.
I'm like, I just wish, so like, okay, I'm happy that they're talking about a spiritual experience on media that thousands or millions of people see. Like, I think that's wonderful, but I don't think it's
helpful.
Does it
have to be this guy?
Right. Like, there's already, we've proven that the theology is a little whack, but then on top of that, but like on top of that, we have this like really powerful spiritual experience they had, which is like cool. But then they're like, oh, this means that I should propose to her immediately. And I'm like, I don't think that's what God was saying to you, dude. Like, I think God was just like, hey, I'm here and I'm with you as you like try to figure out what's next. Like, I don't think it was.
And then like, the fact that right after Danielle was like, well, my gut is telling me to wait for him to propose and slow down and be cautious. So I'm like, so did you both really have that experience, or are you speaking for Danielle? Because obviously Danielle didn't have that same
response. Because she didn't even say anything when they were talking about it. And also the Holy Spirit works through like those gut idea, like gut feelings of like, oh, maybe this isn't right.
Right.
So like, who's to say that the Holy Spirit isn't working with both, but like they're getting the messages crossed,
You know, when we were talking last time about how they come from this like conservative religious background, for whatever reason, you know, I hadn't really thought or equated that with them too much. But now that it's like my eyes are open to the, now I'm watching it. And I'm watching her because she had always come across as stronger, more strong and more independent. And although they would mention God and religious, oh, well, God says this and stuff, you don't see them in other ways, in other otherwise being super religious on screen. If that's true.
We never see them pray. We never see them go to church. We've never seen them.
You other than him using
the Bible or whatever,
using God telling him, you know, as his reasons for this, we don't hear a lot about it. We don't hear him talking about going to church. I mean, they mention the kids' names and then you're like, oh yeah, that's right. They are very religious, right? And it made me look at her in a different way, because if you look at her like she's Anna Duggar, which is not how I had thought about her before, I was like, oh, okay, she makes a lot more sense to me now. Like, I have a lot less judgment towards her. Like, I'm still judgy and snarky about her, but less so than I would be if it was just, like, a normal, like, semi-intelligent woman who's just choosing to be with this douchebag because, you know, he's got a magic penis or something with Jesus jizz. I don't know. His golden penis is filled with the Holy Spirit.
I just want to be a tell-all so all of these crazies can meet each other and just do whatever. Oh. Maybe they can seek sister wives in each other. I don't know. Just like, I just wish.
Didn't they do one season? Because
I think they did.
Like, yeah, because there was one season where like the woman who was dating that one couple that was only there for one season, the older couple, like showed up and was like, well, he touched me and kissed me and did all this stuff, and like the whole thing blew up and the Snowdens were like the ones who were like comforting her.
Was it the two white people that were old that lived in, like, they had their house destroyed or something?
Yeah, they were living in a trailer with their kid.
People that should not be dating during, like,
and then he ended up dying. He ended up passing away.
Like went down the rabbit hole with that because he ended up dying.
And they're all related to other TV polygamists.
Really?
Yeah, and then she ended up posting all sorts of stuff after he died.
Oh my goodness. So, I feel bad now about making fun of them. And I'm having deja vu right now. That's strange.
Ooh.
Anyhow.
It's God telling you that you need to go to Rio de Janeiro.
This is my sign.
And meet Bert 2.0 if I get her some adult braces.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, can we talk about, we mentioned it before, but can we talk about how batshit it is for them to bring the boys down and all of that, the kids?
It's just awful.
I do wonder what came into that decision, because as we talked about before, they didn't do that with Roberta.
That's why I think they already met this woman and they're just redoing it. That's what
I think that Garrick is already full steam ahead on all of this.
Well, yeah. You know, God told him to do it. So
he's like, he made the ring, and then like bringing the kids and Danielle's family and like the whole thing. Like, are they going to have a wedding there too? Is that going to be a storyline plot? That they're going to have a wedding?
Well, no, I mean, it'd be interesting because, like, the chick can't even get there. So, was that his plan?
She gets there at some point, or they get together at some point, because we saw in, like, the
previews. Yeah, we saw in previews for the season. Yeah. So, at some point, they figure it out.
Production was calling bullshit on her story.
Yeah,
that was my favorite part, by the way, where you hear the producer.
We just got in twice right now.
Got in twice.
Yes. Just now. Do we want to talk about that? We'll mention it a little bit. So they show a preview because it's a preview for next week, right? They show this preview where she's like, they woke him up at 5 a.m. They can't get, Natalia. She can't get on the plane, allegedly, yeah, from Brazil. And yeah, and so she's saying, what does she say?
Which, let's be honest, how, maybe I'm wrong, how hard is it to get into Mexico? Let's be serious.
Well, this, so this is what Danielle's saying. Well, apparently the laws have changed and you need some new visa and da 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 da. And she doesn't have it. And then you hear her on the phone saying whatever it is, and they're,
that she, they couldn't, get, they said it, which, they couldn't find that. They thought that, but then they looked it up and they couldn't find that information online.
But then they're now at the airport, they're having problems, but then something with the website wouldn't work. But then the producers are like, we can get in right now. Right. But what kind of situation, this is all sounds bullshit, because what kind of situation would you, first of all, are you that dumb that you wouldn't have known this before she goes to the airport? And she's not going to, she's going to get to the airport and find out she doesn't have this visa and relying on the computer system to pull it up. Like that's,
well, not only that, but the producers make sure everything is good to go for your travel for the show. They are not going to dilly-dally and trying to make sure somebody, or, you know, like let somebody just figure it out on their own. They're going to make sure everything is accounted for, and they're going to pay for your plane tickets and make it look like you didn't and make sure everything is organized. So that's where I call bullshit, because I'm like, no, production had her set up ready to get on that plane with every document needed, ready to go. And if they didn't, then they're a sucky production team, and that's a whole nother situation. But like, let's be honest, it should have all been arranged and set up and perfect.
Right. So we find out later, like, some poor PA got fired.
Right. Some intern that was unpaid.
They didn't ensure this visa was done.
I'm interning at TLC for free, and I got,
I hope they, in the next episode, they explain this further, because none of it makes sense about a website that you would need to pull up at the airport to prove to the, like.
Well, then she goes on to say that, you know, the Brazilians are paying Mexicans to let them in.
Like,
to the country,
for like advanced technology or something to get a visa.
Yeah, none of it.
Like, listen, we know people are paying Mexican police officers to get out of trouble in Mexico, but not getting in through the country.
What do you think that she's just going to use this to milk? She's using this to milk Garrick for more money to pay, fix and pay for the visa that she needs, which she probably already has. Because she bought it the first time with his money, and but now she's going to pretend like this isn't anything, and he's going to send her more money so she can fix the problem that's probably not actually a problem, and then she's going to get on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised. Clearly, because Berta did the same thing, right? She was constantly milking that, which we found out later. She was constantly milking them for money. So
wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then we move on to Naeem and his mother, Jamila.
Oh, yeah.
And I was
like, get a dog.
Mom, yeah, get a dog and cat. That's
get a dog.
Love to go around.
So can I just, there's like big boomer energy with the mom when they're like, oh, we met her online. And her reaction is, oh, Lord. And I'm like, oh, Lord, like, 90% of people meet their spouses online now.
Right. Like, totally different world. Lord. Yeah. It's not like you put a personal ad in like ye old newspaper
yes,
or the back of a mail order bride catalog. Like, no. It's
well, then when they were like, we were talking to Keisha from Georgia, and the first thought that crossed my mind was, Georgia the state or Georgia the country?
The country.
I was like, wait a second, where are we in the world? Like,
what show are we watching?
Right. I was like,
you know what he said? He didn't say we're talking to. He said we're messing with.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't even catch that.
Oh, he said that. Interesting.
Yeah.
We're messing with this. It wasn't talking to. So, yeah, it was an interesting choice of words. And then, yeah, so we haven't even met her, and they're like, I don't know, moving her in, or I don't know. I don't
Mm-hmm. Can I ask, like, I feel like they've just been like dragging this one conversation for two episodes, and like I've never really seen them do that on this show before. So I'm like, is their plot just going too slow for them to like show stuff? Because like,
I wonder if there's something that happened to the other couple or something with filming that they have to fill hours, and that's why they're stretching it. Yeah. If they had to cut something out, which they've done before.
Maybe Keisha's also stuck at the airport, not able to enter into or Enterprise rent
from,
a car.
From the state of Georgia. From the country of Georgia.
Somewhere in the, where in the world is?
Well, where's Danielle? We don't know where she is. Maybe Keisha is there.
Well, they apparently find her because in the previews they had like her talking to the camera in her car, apparently. So
so they talking about them. So then she's talking about, I guess, in the preview, she's got her own apartment now and everything. All of that would explain why her body language and facial expressions were so weird in the last episode.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
The fact that she had already had the apartment set up before she left and everything makes me wonder. I don't want to say abuse because I don't think it's fair to just like call abuse without any evidence, but it's almost like she's escaping something, right? Like if she didn't talk to them about why she's leaving, because any normal breakup without any, you know, anger,
this and, isn't working, I need to get out.
You have a conversation. I'm you know, okay, I'm gonna move out, whatever. But no, she just left.
She planned it all, got her stuff out and up and
quietly
left.
Right. Well, with some sort of commotion, but mainly quietly.
Commotion. It's a commotion.
I need my plants.
Yes. I can't forget the plants. I don't know.
I also wonder, like, when I just was so shocked at how that escalated so fast, because like when they were setting it up in episode one, I was like, okay, so this is going to be like the arc through the season of like, okay, she's not sure. And like, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And, like,
we were totally saying that.
Right. Like, and I thought maybe like she would like move out at some point and then come back. But I thought that would happen like in the middle of the season, not like episode two.
I was all set for this episode to be a boring episode. And then all of a sudden, I mean,
it kind of was, but
a little of it was, it was like half boring and half what. So really good though. I can't wait to see more. I can't wait to see this other couple with, do you want to date my husband? He's really hot.
Yeah, I have questions about like, why are they waiting? And that's why I wonder your question about like, if there was some sort of issue with filming with that other couple, because like, why are they waiting to introduce the couple in like episode three? And why are they like dragging out this one conversation with that?
I mean,
one,
those are all typical TLC editing things. You see that in like 90 Day and stuff sometimes, you know, in some of their other shows, but it does seem pretty severe with this. And I don't know that we normally get that with this. So either maybe they have new editors, I don't know, or if they're trying to shift around some airings to account for some scheduling issue on the other end.
Yeah. I can't wait to meet the Ryans. Like every time they show them, previews, I'm like, this is gonna be fascinating.
They're saving the best for last.
Just go up to a random person at a coffee shop. Hey, you want to date my husband? I know what I was gonna say. Ashley is friends on Facebook with Sidian's wife.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah, what's her name again? I forgot her name, but
I'm blanking. It'll come to me.
But really? Yeah, they're friends.
They don't even live in the same area.
But they're Facebook friends.
They might have just added after being on the show, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's
probably what happened.
Yeah, I assumed it was something like that, but I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
When you're talking about mixing the couples, I'm like,
Yeah.
But also,
like a dating show for
them. What happened to them? Like, I'm always curious why they don't invite couples back. Like,
why some don't come back?
Yeah, like obviously sometimes there's scandals that we find out about, but like sometimes they just don't invite groups, family units back just because
if they weren't good TV, or
they were kind of boring, right? From what I'm not boring, but like they were happy, and that's Unfortunately, if
it's did they end up marrying their 90-day fiance girl?
Oh wait, who are we talking about?
Sidian.
Sidian and his wife.
No, Sidian is the guy with the like the, all the bracelets and
yeah, they moved. They're the couple that moved to Oregon because they had
their child was trans. Was
trans,
and it was more accepting in Oregon.
Right.
She's like, Lexi's looking him up.
Oh, yes, I'm looking it up. Okay, they were kind of meh.
What was his wife's name?
Oh, let me pull back. I wasn't.
What's his wife's name? Yeah.
If you're looking him up anyway.
Tasha.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tasha and Ashley are friends on Facebook, but it's hard to tell if Ashley utilizes the Facebook as a regular thing. Again, was just like partially locked down. So it's hard to tell if that's just her normal activity or if stuff is hidden. Getting to her on Instagram roundabout ways. I'm getting there.
Mm.
Their show's only aired like two episodes now. So, you know, they're probably just like forming their Seeking Sister Wives Ashley, you know, Instagram
yeah.
See, that's interesting to me because like they trained us when my show aired, like make sure all your social media stuff has the name of the show and like your profile and like, yeah. Mm. They were very particular about how we did that.
Yeah, TLC. Well, I know at least with 90 Day and Sharp Productions, they had social media contracts that require, you know, have whatever their that season, whatever bug up their ass they have that season, it covers it basically. So I wonder if it's the same for them, but I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know. But in any case, ultimately a good episode. I was excited to see where it's gonna go because Danielle taking off was not on my bingo card this week.
Nope.
Yeah
so
it clearly wasn't on their bingo card either.
right Oh my gosh.
Oh Lord. Okay. Well, I think that's it, right?
Yeah, there's not really
anything else that happened, right?
Yeah. Now the one thing one other thing that Ashley said about Shane was she said that there were sides. Ashley said about Grace. She said that there were sides of her that she hadn't seen and that she was disrespectful to Shane, I guess later on. And then Shane mentions the red flags he saw in Grace.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, that salad is a red flag to anybody. To tell you what, if your date walks in and orders that, just get up and walk out. Like, no. Just no. It's just over. Just done.
Yeah. I'm like looking through my nose, but yeah, I think that's nothing crazy.
All right. Nothing else you want to talk about?
I just said next time we meet the Ryans. That's all I wrote for next time. I didn't care about anything.
Dot. Okay. Yeah. So hopefully we'll meet the Ryans. I am excited to see what they bring. All right. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, fraudcasters. You know, I used to find bras to be so uncomfortable and constricting. They were the first thing to take off when I got home. But Skims has changed all that. You guys know I love my Skims Fits Everybody t-shirt bras. I own them in just about every shade now. I wear them every single day when I leave the house. And they are completely worth the hype for the amazing shape and support they give. But what I was not expecting from them was how comfortable they are. Even the underwire bras that I wear all day, I barely even notice. Definitely not the first thing I take off when I come home anymore. Y'all, I'm a 36 double D and I've had a reduction and I've gone up and down and lost weight and gained weight and all the things. And the Fits Everybody t-shirt bra, I swear, fits me the best. I finally found a t-shirt bra that I can wear, but not only that, it is the best bra that I own. It holds the girls in so well. And let me just say, Hetero Life Mate really appreciates these bras too. Shop Skims bras at skims.com. Now available in 62 sizes from a 30A to a 46H. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. And if you haven't yet, please be sure to let them know that we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, The Fraudcast, in the drop-down menu that follows.